Hello, everyone. This is Harp.
And your pal, Maura.
And we're here with another Culip's English Learning Podcast.
And if you haven't been to our website, you should check it out. It's culips.com. That's C-U-L-I-P-S.com.
Yes, because there you can find all our older but wonderful episodes.
Right. You can also become a member. And when you become a member, you get the transcripts, more detailed explanations, and quizzes for all of our episodes.
Yeah, and I would strongly recommend that you listen once without the transcript and listen again with the transcript just to make sure that you understood everything.
That's good advice, Harp.
I'm full of good advice.
And if you have any questions, you can always contact us on Facebook. Harp and I might answer, but our editor, Jesse, might also answer for you, too.
Yep, or you can just email us, contact@culips.com.
So today we're going to do a Chatterbox episode, and that is where Harp and I get to chat about all kinds of different topics. Sometimes we talk about things going on in the news, sometimes we interview people, and other times we talk about North American culture.
Yes, and today we're going to talk about voting in elections.
Right. This is definitely a hot topic.
Definitely a hot topic in parts of Canada, specifically Quebec right now, and also in the U.S.
Right. So first we're going to talk about types of elections, and then
we're going to talk about some upcoming elections.
And then Harp and I are going to talk about our experiences voting.
Yes, so let's get started with the types of elections and voting.
So, what kind of elections are there?
In Canada, there are basically three governmental levels that you can vote at.
Okay, that makes sense.
Well, basically, in Canada, you can vote at the federal level. So that's where you're voting for the MPs, the members of parliament, and the prime minister.
Right. So depending on who you vote for in your riding, that will affect who becomes the prime minister of Canada.
Yes, because in Canada, we don't vote directly for the prime minister. In Canada, you vote for the person running in your riding, and the party that wins the most seats, that party's leader becomes the prime minister.
Right. It's funny, you know, because some countries have prime ministers, some have presidents and prime ministers.
Yes, in Canada, we have the prime minister, but the actual head of state is still the queen.
It's surprising. I think even to most Canadians, it's surprising.
Yep. The Queen of England is the head of state of Canada. And another level you can vote at in Canada is the provincial level.
Right. So in Canada, we have how many provinces, Harp?
We have 10 provinces and we have 3 territories.
Right. So this is just larger separations of area in Canada.
Exactly. So in Canada, you can vote federally or provincially.
And then there's another level, right?
There is. What level is this, Maura?
This is the municipal level.
Yes. So this is basically the city level. And at the city level, you would have the municipal vote.
I'm laughing a little bit because Harp says that for some reason she has trouble pronouncing this word.
It's such a difficult word for me to pronounce. I'm sure I say it wrong most of the time.
So what Harp is saying is the municipal level. So that's when we vote for our mayor, right?
Exactly. We vote for our city councilors and our mayor.
Okay. I think it's the most exciting when we get to vote for federal.
Exactly. It's big. It's across the country. It's super important.
Right. And it's interesting because different provinces have different reputations.
Yes. And so in the federal elections in Canada, every citizen who is 18 years old is allowed to vote.
But I wonder if most of them do.
No, that's kind of a sad thing in Canada. Average voter turnout is around 60% or less.
That is pretty sad.
It's low. 40% of the population of Canada who is eligible to vote doesn't.
Yeah, it is a problem. I think people are trying to do something about that by creating very catchy media campaigns to get younger people out to vote.
Yeah, it's definitely the younger people that don't vote enough.
Hmm. Another thing that's interesting is in Canada, we have a federal election every 4 years.
Yeah, it can happen before that, but it has to happen every 4 years.
And the party that is in power, which means the Prime Minister's party, gets to choose when the election will be. So they seem to have a little bit of a strategic advantage by choosing when the election happens.
Yeah, if they're doing well in the polls, they can choose to call the election then and they're more likely to win again.
It's a little bit sneaky.
Yeah. In the U.S., they have set election dates for the federal level, but not in Canada.
I think it would be a good idea to do that, too.
Yeah. You know something interesting that I learned while I was doing research for this episode?
What's that?
You know, I've noticed it, but I didn't understand why. But in Canada, almost all of the time, elections happen in either the spring or the fall.
Well, I would say that the winter isn't a good time because it's so cold and the weather can be really nasty. So if by chance the election is on a day when there's a snowstorm, people might not be able to come out to vote.
Exactly. And because we have such a short summer, people are always on holidays in the summer. So that's why we have fall or spring elections.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
It does indeed.
So let's talk about some upcoming elections now, because as we said, there are a couple that we're interested in.
Yes, in Quebec, there is the provincial election happening very soon.
Right. And it's really interesting because there have been a lot of student protests in the province of Quebec. So this election is going to be very interesting.
It is going to be interesting because the students have been protesting. So I'm interested to know if more younger people are going to come out and vote.
Hey, that's interesting.
It is. Have you been following the election in Quebec?
To be honest, not that much. But as the day grows closer, I will become more and more interested to see what's going on.
Yeah, you know, I've been following it quite closely, and it's so interesting to see all the leaders and the candidates just throwing out these election promises. I'm going to put millions of dollars in this and millions of dollars in this and we're going to do this. But they never give a plan.
That's often what happens, right? Empty promises. That's what politicians are known for.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is what they're known for. But I've been following quite avidly and I'm interested to see. I haven't decided who I'm voting for yet.
One really interesting thing about the province of Quebec that I think is different from other areas of Canada is that Quebec often has new and different political parties. So a group of people might start a new political party, and within a few years, they're getting a lot of votes, where the rest of Canada is very conservative with political parties.
That's very true. In Quebec, yeah, you do have a lot of the new parties that come, and they're sometimes around only for a couple of years, and then they don't get voted in an election, and then they disappear, and a new party comes.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yes. And another upcoming election that's happening is the American presidential election.
Right. And there's an example where they don't have that many political parties to choose from. In the U.S., there's really only two big political parties that are taken seriously.
Yep, there's the Republican Party and there's the Democratic Party.
And it seems like every year the election is bigger and bigger news and more people are interested in it.
You know, I think it's funny because I think a lot of Canadians follow the American election more closely than they follow the Canadian elections.
I bet that's true. But I would say that's because the American election is so sensationalized and it's everywhere on the media, where the Canadian elections tend to be more about issues and debates and stuff that people might think is boring.
Yeah, in the U.S. they have a lot of attack ads, so the commercials are interesting to watch, and they spend a lot of money on elections.
Right, and they spend a lot of time. This election that's coming up in the fall for the U.S. has been talked about for almost a year already, and the campaign to see who was going to lead the Republican Party was such a big deal in the media.
Yeah, exactly. I think it might have something to do with the fact that they have set elections. They know when it's going to happen. The party that's not in power has to choose a leader to go against the party that's in power. It's complicated and there's a lot going on.
Definitely. But it's always interesting. Even if it's not our own country, it is interesting. And I bet it's not just Canadians. I bet people in countries all over the world are somewhat interested in what happens in the United States of America.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. People are following the election everywhere.
So we'll see if Barack Obama will stay in power for another 4 years or if the Republicans will come back.
Yeah, it's interesting. We'll see what happens.
Okay, now let's talk about our own experiences voting.
Let's do it. Maura, do you vote in every election?
I do vote in every election. I can't say that I've always voted in every election, but over the past few years, I've definitely realized how important it is, and I make an effort to vote every year.
Yeah, I'm the same. Well, I've voted in every provincial and federal election, but I have to be honest, when I first moved to Montreal, and even sometimes now, I don't really understand the city politics here. They have parties in the city level. It's confusing to me.
I've probably voted more in Quebec than I did when I lived at home. But I do remember the first time I ever voted, and I felt quite young to be making such an important decision.
Yeah, me too.
And I always feel a bit nervous when I'm filling out the ballot. Like, am I doing it right? Is it going to work? Are they going to take this seriously?
I agree. It's the same thing for me. But you know, the first time I voted in a federal election, it was very interesting because I got to be a scrutineer at the end of the election.
I've never even heard that word before. Now you're teaching me a new word, Harp.
Basically, it's where you're representing a political party. First, you go and vote. That happens separately. But at the very end of the election, at about 7 o'clock, I think the polls close. I don't remember exactly. Maybe 9 o'clock. But after that, they have the people who are paid to count the votes. And they are part of Elections Canada. But each party sends a volunteer to watch when they count the votes. And it's very interesting. So when I was 18, I was able to watch them count the votes. And you really understand the process and you see how clear it is and how democratic. It was very interesting.
That is very interesting. So something else that you just made me think of is how it's not really acceptable to ask someone directly who they voted for.
Yes, it's always a bit of a tricky topic of, you want to know who they're voting for. And if they're your really close friends, you usually have an idea. But at work, for example, I wouldn't really ask someone who they're voting for.
No, I would never ask someone directly unless they were a really, really good friend. Most of the time, if people want to tell you who they're voting for, they just tell you. That's it. If you have to ask them, they probably don't want to say.
Exactly. It's a personal choice and you shouldn't ask people unless they're really close to you.
Yeah. I remember when I was in Japan, there was a federal election. And someone asked me. But I didn't want to say.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, it's kind of a tricky topic of when someone asks you. Because we want to be polite and answer the question. But really, it's private and personal and none of their business.
Yeah. When I was in Japan, I had to go out of my way in order to vote because I wasn't in Canada. So when you're away from your country, it's a much bigger effort to be able to vote. I remember I had to contact the Canadian embassy and then you had to vote, I think, online. And again, you're not even sure, did they really get it? Was it really counted? But I still thought it was really important to try to vote.
Yeah, I've always been in Canada when there's an election, so I never had the opportunity to do that. But I've heard that you have to go to the consulate, you have to tell them before that you're coming to vote. It's a bit complicated.
Mm-hmm. One other thing I want to mention is strategic voting.
Yes, strategic voting has become more and more popular now that the internet is more widespread and people are going online to see about different candidates.
Right. So in strategic voting, it's not just as simple as you deciding, oh, I like this political party, so I'm going to vote for them. It's more like, well, this political party might win and I don't want them to win. So I'm going to vote for this other party because maybe it will mean that this guy loses.
Exactly. Because in the Canadian federal elections, you have usually about four or five parties, four of which have a chance of winning a seat. So strategic voting is really important there.
Right. And let's just go over the main parties in Canada in case anyone out there is curious.
Perfect. So right now in power, we have Stephen Harper and he's part of the Conservative Party.
And then we have another political party that is, I believe, the oldest political party in Canada, which is the Liberal Party.
Yes. And we also have the NDP,
which means New Democratic Party.
Yep. And for the first time this election, they're the official opposition.
And we also have the Green Party, which every year is getting a little bit more popular and a little bit more known.
Exactly. I think they won their first seat in the last election.
I think you're right. And then those are really the four big parties. And we started on the right with a more right-wing conservative party. And we listed them going towards the left.
Exactly. I didn't even realize we did that.
And there are some additional smaller parties, but they normally aren't involved in the federal politics.
Exactly, because they don't get enough percentage of the vote to gain federal funding.
So it will be interesting to see how our election turns out in Montreal, in Quebec, and how the American election turns out. Sometimes there are all these projections and political pundits giving their expert opinion, but you really never know.
No, for sure. And you know, I would love to hear from all of you out there. Do you vote? Is it a big deal for you? Which elections do you vote for?
Right. Or are you bored like many people are and not really interested in voting?
Yeah, I'm intrigued.
So let's go over what we talked about one more time in this Chatterbox episode.
We started with talking about the different types of elections that you could vote at.
And then we talked about the upcoming elections for us in Quebec and for the United States.
Exactly. And then we finished with talking about some of our personal experiences with voting.
And if there's an election going on where you are, I hope the political party you're voting for wins.
Exactly. So make sure you check out our website, culips.com. That's culips.com.
And become a member because it only makes listening to these episodes even better and it helps us out at Culips as well.
Definitely. And go to Facebook and like us and also leave a comment about voting and your experience.
Yeah, that would be really interesting. And when some of the results come for these elections we talked about, we can comment on those as well.
Exactly.
So we will talk to you again soon. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.